and welcome. It's good to be here to celebrate and rejoice together and worship God. My name is Dawn Davis, and I am your fill-in today. Your rector's away, and it is a privilege to be able to do this for him. We pray for him while he's away with family and traveling. Thank you for welcoming me. Just to give you a little sense of who I am, I hail from Nova Scotia originally. So I'm a Maritimer. Our family's been caught up in the hurricane and all the other things that have happened there. Came to Toronto and served there, and I now am a professor of contextual theology at Huron. It's, a real delight to be here with you. Oh, and I place students, and so this would be a great church to place students. As I sat here being enveloped in the choir of angels, I was thinking, oh, this would be a good place for a student, so keep your mind open. Let us just take a moment and allow ourselves to be present to God's love and God's peace in this space. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you call your church to witness that in Christ we are reconciled to you. Help us so to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may turn to you. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. And they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or your sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jacob from a people of strange speech. Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea beheld it and fled. Jordan turned and went back. The mountains scaped like rams, and the little hills like young sheep. What ailed you, O sea, that you fled, O Jordan, that you turned back? You mountains, that you skipped like rams, you little hills like young sheep. Presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the hard rock into a pool of water and flint stone into a flowing spring.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, "What if another member of the church sins against me? How often shall I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him his debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat and said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia,
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I have to thank the choir for redeeming that last reading, because that's very difficult. Lots of issues associated with that parable that's been told. But both of the readings have to do with conflict in community. What happens when a community starts to fight and people start to hurt each other? Now, I'm sure that never happens at St. James, ever. But certainly it has happened in the past in other communities. It happens in our families. It happens in our workplaces, right? It happens so much in the time of Jesus that many times he and the early church are dealing with this issue of conflict. And what do you do when someone hurts you? So I'd like to talk a little bit about forgiveness. It's a topic that we often will say is important, but we really don't hold up as something that is a spiritual practice that is exercised constantly that can actually do a lot to help us grow. I was thinking about this. What makes it possible for Dale Lang, an Anglican priest from Tabor, Alberta, to forgive the teen who shot his 17-year-old son? How did he do that? At the same time, why did Julie Nicholson, an English vicar, renounce her ministry in the Church of England because she could not forgive her daughter's killer? There are many perplexing questions that we face when we face conflict and forgiveness. The scriptures are peppered with teaching on forgiveness. It's such an important topic. The Lord's Prayer has it built right in. The prodigal son, turn the other cheek. And today, the persistency of needing to constantly be engaged in the process of forgiveness. Not seven, not once, 77, or in the other gospels, seven times 77. In other words, always. Jesus preached constantly about the kingdom of God as that which restores us to full and abundant life. And forgiveness is one of the central features of that kingdom. Forgiveness, though, is a deeply personal part of our spiritual lives. No one can give forgiveness until they are ready. And no one can ask you to forgive until you are ready. There is no clear step-by-step process, although there is a bit of a way you can make yourself start to grapple intentionally with the elements of forgiveness. But often we find ourselves back and forth. We are engaged in forgiveness. We think we have forgiven, but then one day it strikes us anew, the pain, and it feels like it brought us to a new level, and we have to re-engage with it. So, probably the first thing we need to do is define what we mean by forgiveness, because it is very much misunderstood. From the perspective of the person who has been wronged, who has been hurt, forgiveness is not forgetting. That's the first thing. And we sort of know that, right? We can't forget. We've been given the gift of memory. And trust needs to be reestablished. Forgiveness does not mean we condone. If we forgive someone, that doesn't say we have accepted their behavior or said it was the right thing. It does not mean that we agree with the offensive behavior. It does not mean that the perpetrator necessarily gets away with the wrong. It does not mean that we will likely change the perpetrator's behavior. Forgiveness simply means that we unlock the power that the offense has had over us and allowed ourselves to be free. Forgiveness is all about us. And you know this saying, as Anne Lamott says, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. Now, don't kid yourself. This is really hard spiritual work. If it was easy, we would all do it. It is hard, but it is achievable when you're ready and if you are intentional. Here are some of the pitfalls, though, that you might find along the way. Many of us will bury our anger and our resentment and find it difficult to even admit that we are hurt. Some of us have difficulty standing up for ourselves and claim that we have been unjustly treated. Some of us just live in denial around that. Others find giving up our justifiable anger far too costly. It's almost sweet to hang on to that venom. Some of us find it easier to treat the person with cold disdain. Now, that's a very British way of doing things. You just kind of all of a sudden let the cold ice strip over the relationship. And you pull back, person not knowing what happened. I think in some ways the prevailing British European way is the first ghosting that you hear about social media. We're sort of the best at that. Sometimes separation is absolutely necessary for physical and emotional safety, no question. But at some point, if we never go through the internal process of letting go of our justifiable anger and resentment, then we will continue to be victims, and ironically, we will consign ourselves to being emotionally tethered to the offender. Even though there may be a great distance between, or even the offender has died. But somehow we lock ourselves into that relationship if we don't forgive. Until there is forgiveness, we are spiritually stuck, imprisoned, with the negative implications playing itself out within our relationships and other parts of our lives. But again, just like grief, you can't rush the process. Only you will know when you are ready to be free. Now, from the perspective of the person who has offended, I'm sure that's none of you here, but let's just say you hurt someone else. Now, likely it's been unwitting. We do things and we don't really know the impact. Sometimes we can't even imagine the impact of what another person has taken in from something we have done or said. Forgiveness in this case, it requires an acknowledgement, first of all, of the offense and the harm that it has caused, even though it might not have been meant to have been caused. It requires repentance and a willingness to apologize, and that is so hard. But it is significant. Reparations may be necessary and may include punishment. And certainly, though, there's a commitment that's needed to change. And it may take a little while for the relationship of trust to be reestablished. So there's a patience that's required. Each week, we include the confession in our worship service, so that we all can have the opportunity to work out this process. Take advantage of it. Don't just let the confession and absolution sit by and you wonder, why is such a downer in the middle of our service? This is here so that we can actually take a minute, reflect on our week, and intentionally leave it at the altar. In your mind, even imagine, I'm letting go of this. Please forgive me. You may have to do something when you return home, but how often in your week do you have a chance to just reflect on that and then receive the gift of the absolution, the gift of God's promise that you are free? God knows we do wrong. That's no surprise, but does not want us to live our life burdened. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, weighed down. I will give you rest. When the offender, and that might be you, seeks forgiveness and the person hurt is not ready, is not willing to extend forgiveness, what happens then? Well, unfortunately, it really rests in their hands. It's up to them to offer forgiveness when they're ready. If they are, then reconciliation is possible. Now, I will tell you, a reconciled relationship doesn't just go back to where it was. So you'll never go back to that same innocent place. When this process of reconciliation happens, you find yourself in a new place where mutual trust can begin. This is obviously the ultimate goal for many of us, since it requires a commitment and a desire from all people to live anew. In communities like our families and our workplaces and our church, we should assume that there will inevitably be conflict. There will inevitably be the requirement for forgiveness. And Jesus knew that and said, do this and be engaged in this process on a daily basis. Constantly being engaged in a process that lets yourself be free and grants the other that grace and mercy. Though it's difficult and challenging, forgiveness is our sacrifice. And we are reminded that we too, though, have required forgiveness ourselves. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved and be freed. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In the knowledge of all God has done for us, let us bring to him our concerns for the church and for the world. Thank you, God, for the love which forgives again and again, and is prepared to trust us with the care of your people, even after we have let you down many times. Teach us to minister to one another's needs with compassion, sensitivity, and discipline, so that all are affirmed and encouraged. The Lord is full of compassion. His love lasts forever. Thank you, God, for the order and variety, simplicity and complexity of this universe. Thank you for all that humankind is able to do. May all these gifts be used wisely and well for the good of all, including those as yet unborn. The Lord is full of compassion. Thank you, God, for what we have been forgiven and for the opportunities we have each day to learn the joy of forgiving others. Smash through our self-righteousness and keep us learning in humility at your feet. The Lord is full of compassion. Thank you, God, for all those who care for the sick, the unstable, the ungrateful, and the difficult. We pray for all who are on the receiving end of hate, deceit, suspicion, or abuse, and for those who cause others pain and distress of any kind. We pray for your healing and transformation. The Lord is full of compassion. God, we pray for all who cry out for rest and relief, and all who are carrying terrible burdens that weigh them down. We stand alongside them in prayer, and remember especially Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, and Liz Bailey. Thank you, God, for those living and dying has taught us much about love. Freed from their pain and restrictions of age or injury, may they enjoy forever the life of heaven. The Lord is full of compassion. Thank you, God, for disturbing our complacency and challenging us to move forward with you, assured of your company and your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us take a moment of silence, confessing our sins, always confident in God's forgiveness. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God forgives you. Forgive one another. Forgive yourselves. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace. 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 Let us pray. Holy God, accept all we offer you this day. May we, who are reconciled at this table, bring wholeness to our broken world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night that he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. Gathering our prayers together, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Let us pray. God of peace, in this Eucharist we have been reconciled to you and to our neighbors. May we who have been nourished by holy things always have the courage to forgive. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go forth in peace to love and serve the risen Lord.
Thanks be to God.